Okay, let's get moving. We are up to Halva'a, it's Perek Aleph, Zif Hey. That's where we're up to. Mitzvahs halva bein im mashkon ubein bli mashkon. The mitzvah of lending is fulfilled whether you do it with a collateral or without a collateral. Obviously, from the standpoint of chesed, you would say it's better to do it without a collateral. Why do you have to take someone else's item and keep it to yourself? Nonetheless, even if you take a collateral, that doesn't diminish the quality of chesed that you are, or not the quality, it doesn't diminish from the mitzvah you have performed.
Right.
Ubilvad, shehe halove batuach etzlo, sheyifrolo ma'osav. However, the borrower has to be trustworthy, such that one is confident that he's going to pay back the loan. The borrower has to be confident in that. In other words, I should not be lending him if I think that he's not going to pay me back. My loan is contingent on him paying me back. Well, I want to come back to that, but I want to finish the seif first and then come back to that. The makir belove she'eno makbid al mamon acherim. If one recognizes that the borrower is not particularly careful with other people's money, v'yivazveiz demeha halva'a, and he is simply going to squander the money. V'yivazveiz is a term that we use for spending, but particularly spending in a non-frugal way. And he's not going to have the means to pay back. So mutav shalola havoso rak b'mashkon. Better not to lend to him without a collateral. Okay, we're in Seif Hey. Better not to lend to him without a collateral. Umikom makom yachol lahalvos laani al das shem lo yifra yenake mecheshbon atzaka shalo. However, he says, you may lend to a pauper and do it having in mind that if he doesn't pay me back, so it's on my meiser cheshbon. That just counts as pure tzedakah. So we have a lot to see in this regard. Let's go back first to the point about the borrower being confident that he will pay you back. So we are in footnote Yud Gimel, Ha'ara Yud Gimel. Okay? In Yud Gimel, he quotes you the Avas Chesed, the work of the Chafetz Chaim. Avas Chesed, Sham. Ubenesiv HaChesed Kasa, Shemisavara Eino Chayev Lahalvos Lo Beli Mashkon, Im Eino Muchzok Legavra Parana. He says it's logical to suggest that you are not obligated to lend to him without a collateral if he is not muhzak, is not known to be someone who pays back his debts. In other words, I go to him and I say, I'm willing to lend you, but I demand that there be a collateral. He says, I refuse the collateral. Then you say, I refuse to lend you. That's the way it goes. Now, the language that he uses is interesting. What's his default? What's his default? His default is that the person is not assumed to be someone who pays back. You need a credit rating, right? Because he says he has to actually have a chazaka that he pays back. If I don't know anything about the guy, then he's not muhzak. So I have to have, he has to have a positive reputation. It's a very interesting idea.
He has to have a positive reputation, or you can't ask.
Ask whom? No, I can ask around. I can no. In order for me to be obligated to lend to him, I have to be able. He has to have a positive reputation. That doesn't mean I know him before. I can ask around.
Yeah.
But he continues to say, "Umasha amra Torah im chavol tachbol demashma shemitzvah salva hi afilu kishiyetzarech lamashkeno haynush niskalke lacharkach." So he's bothered because the Torah says, if you will take a collateral, ... as part of a discussion of lending. So that makes it sound like the mitzvah of lending to him is, even if there's a collateral that's needed, you still have a mitzvah to lend. But he says that's talking about where things got corrupted afterwards. You extended the loan, then the guy got a shady reputation, and then you go to take the collateral. That could be a way to take that. But the point is that that he's not entitled to say, "I want you to lend to me without taking something of mine."
He can say it.
The last line there is a little fuzzy. I'm not 100% on that line, but
he can say it. But who says I have to lend him?
Well, that's what we're saying. He can say whatever he likes. I'm not obligated. And he continues to say, "Va'afilu im nidayek midivrei hamechilta, sha'afim eino batuach." Mitzvah lahalvos. V'achakach yavo lemashkeno al yidei beisdin. Even if we are going to look at the words of the Mechilta regarding the obligation to lend, and deduce from there that you have to lend to him even if you're not confident, and then knew you'll have to go get a collateral via beisdin later. In other words, lend him now, and you may need to get a collateral later. That's life. Nirasha Torah lo tzir sakein rak bedavar muat shebevada yimsa acharkach. He says the Torah would only obligate me to take that course if we're talking about a small quantity, a small amount of money, such that you'll easily be able to get payment out of him. Avosach maruba, but if it's a large sum, afim malveu b'shtar, even if you lend him with a document such that you could now put a lien on his property and so on, eino chayev lahavos b'li mashkon shemalo yehe. Then you do not have to lend him without a collateral. So what he's willing to entertain is the idea that there's a two-tiered system. Small loans, maybe I do have to lend to him even without collateral. Large loans, no way. No way. You have a collateral, it's one thing. But without a collateral, no. Because why should you be hung out to dry?
Because for a small loan, I should be able to find a collateral in his assets.
Or some means of actually taking payment out of his assets.
Right.
Yeah.
But I can go to the basin and this is something as a collateral. Because it's a small loan, everybody has something that I can...
Right. Yeah. And that brings us to the next line. Ubifrat, he says, especially bizmanenu, in our day, she'in biyad bezdin koach lachof Shalem. Lots of luck going to Beis Din and getting them to compel him to pay.
I know, I go to small claims court all the time.
Yeah. There you go. He says, then certainly you can't be obligated to extend such a loan. Ayin Sham Sidin Nisibat Chesed, yes.
I know, I missed the first line.
Yeah. Right.
Right.
What he's saying there is that the mitzvah of lending is whether you do it with a collateral or without a collateral. In other words, we're not going to, so to speak, fine you and say, well, since you lent and you held a collateral, that wasn't really fulfilling the mitzvah of lending.
That's not called taking with interest.
Oh, it's certainly not called taking. It's certainly not called taking with interest. There's no interest involved. Now, what there could be interest is what you're about to suggest. That's what's called mashkanta desura. Mashkanta desura is a term the Gemara uses regarding a type of loan in which you took collateral and you were allowed to use the collateral during the period of the loan, but in order to avoid that being interest, that actually counted for repayment. It was like you were renting the object. So, effectively, that person who is giving you the collateral is earning back some of the money via the collateral itself. So that's a different story. But in the
I thought of something else.
Yeah.
What happens if the collateral, say the loan's $1,000.
Okay.
And he gives you collateral for $15.
Yeah.
Okay. And he doesn't pay back the loan.
Mm-hmm. So that's a whole other question which we have to get into. Where
that's what I'm thinking. Too.
Okay.
To
me, that would be ribbis.
Right. So
no?
That's not ribbis.
No. First of all, collateral is not there to use. The ordinary assumption is that it's not mashkanta desura, but it's actually not there to use. It's simply a security. Like when it means it's like when they take your driver's license when you want to, I don't know what. There are various times when you have to leave your driver's license, like, I don't know, you rent skates or something like that.
Right.
So it's to make sure you don't run off. That's all it is. You want something from him that is of such significance that he's not going to default on the loan because he wants that back. That's the idea. We haven't gotten to yet, it's a long way off, the question of, does the collateral have to be worth the value of the loan? What if the collateral is just a sentimental value? Then are we going to now say that that qualifies and so on? That we haven't touched that yet.
Could it be also a piece of land that he has?
Piece of land. Well, land is automatically encumbered for payment of a debt. If someone borrows money from me, his land is already, that has a lien automatically. on the case of a guy who doesn't have land. Right? Like many people, unfortunately. Yeah. Yeah.
Somebody rents a house. Rents a house.
Yeah.
Has got land.
Can you be your own? I guess this will get into it. Can you be your own like as a slate, like sell yourself afterwards?
Right. So the answer is no. No. Okay.
It has, you're saying really it's just a move.
I'm sorry?
It's a chat.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. If you look in the parentheses, he says, I'll call upon him in any case. Muchach midvarav, it is shown from his words of the Nesiva Chesed on this. She'im be'eza ofen shehu, I'll call upon him yekabel ma'osav. That if in some way, you're going to get paid back. We're still in the footnote, Yud Gimel. Even if in order to get your money back, it's going to be a whole story, right? You're going to have to go to the courts and get them to give you a ruling and so on. He says, after all, even a collateral, let's pretend that the guy defaulted. If you wanted to take payment out of the collateral, to sell off the collateral, you actually need the Beis Din's permission. He says, that's the eighth part, we're still in the first. But he says, Ein ze potro mi mitzvas halva. Saying, well, it will be a big pain to get paid back, does not exempt you from the mitzvah of lending. You're still going to be obligated to lend. He says, this sounds like this from the Shulchan Aruch. When the Shulchan Aruch says that if you know that the borrower is going to spend the money and is not going to have the means to repay you, mutav shelo lahalvoso, better not to lend to him, mimasha yalvehu v'yitzdarech lenog so v'yavor v'chopam mishum losia lo kinosher, better not to lend to him than to lend to him and end up repeatedly violating the prohibition against oppressing a borrower. So if you know that he's going to default, and you know you're going to keep on coming after him to pay, and he's not going to be paying you, better not to lend to him in the first place. Mashma, but the indication of that line in the Shulchan Aruch is, Shemishum tirchaso eino nifter. The fact that you're going to have to run after him doesn't exempt you. It's the fact that he's not going to pay that exempts you. He continues to say after the parentheses, Ubechelek beiz binyana gilas chasad in perik ches, herich od binyan zeh, the kasav. He quotes you further from the Nesiv HaChesed on the Avas Chesed of the Chavetz Chaim. He says, Shelif amim kishe'eno batuach be'enav. Sometimes the borrower is not credible to you. Vahala rotze lasei slomashkon. But the borrower wants to give you a collateral. Vuhu eno rotze lakabel mashkon. And you have no interest in doing this. You don't want to take his collateral. You don't want to lend him money. So here he is saying, listen, I'll give you a collateral. What do? Eino yachol liftor atzmo mikach. You can't get out of it by saying, well, I don't want the hassle. Not wanting the hassle is not good enough as an excuse. Imlo, unless, show ish ilay m'sha'afay de mashkun yachol lavoala ba'akifin. Unless what you're dealing with is a borrower who's a tough guy, a guy with power in the community, such that if he defaults on the debt, you're going to be out of luck. In other words, what happens is sometimes you're going to say, I don't want to lend to this person because even if I have a collateral, I'm never going to find a Beis Din that's going to be willing to let me sell off the collateral. They're too intimidated by this gentleman. So if so, if this man has all the judges under his thumb, I'm not obligated to lend.
Because it means the collateral is not worth anything.
Exactly. It's not a collateral.
It doesn't have the teeth that it's required to have.
Correct. So the lesson out of all of this is that I am obligated to undergo strain to help somebody. I am not obligated to lose my money in order to help somebody. But here's the kicker. He says, first of all, he says, Ubahagosh Shaman and note there, Kasav Sheishar Ba'atzmo, Ilua Yachol Arviach, Layadeha Halba'a, Imayanim Namikach. He says, first of all, the Chafetz Chaim notes, here's a good way to gauge this for yourself. Let's pretend this wasn't a loan. Let's pretend that you were going to get some kind of return on the loan. But it would involve a lot of strain. Would you be willing to do it? Would that make it up for you? Yeah? If suddenly that would change things in your mind, the profit would change something in your mind, then extend the loan. Yeah, that's the idea.
What's the deal of the love? The moment he has a deadline and he didn't return, is he a ganag or is he?
We'll talk about that. We will talk about that. He is violating an isser by not paying.
Right.
That we know, and then it's up to the Beis Din to help handle the collections. He's not a ganag in the sense of, you know, he didn't take the money under false pretenses.
Right.
Assuming he knew. If he knew he wasn't going to pay back, that's theft. Then we call that theft.
But he's over.
Yeah.
He's over. So, but if I'm lending him knowing that he's not going to pay back, he's also like a
We're getting to that. Hang in there. One more line in this footnote that I wanted to see. Kasa b'sefer chazidim simen tav chav vav. Shem eino rotze lahalvos lo mishum she'eino batuach asur l'shaker v'lomar she'ein lo. Ela yikach mimenu bitchonos. The sefer chazidim writes that if you don't want to lend him because you don't trust him, you can't lie to him and say, sorry, no money. Instead, you have to take the collateral. You have to take the security, whatever that is. Okay. That's all the issue.
Funny. Isn't that funny?
Sorry?
Well, why would that be the case?
Because you're not allowed to lie to people.
Right. Except for those cases when you are allowed.
Yeah, you're allowed to lie in certain cases. But other than that, you're not allowed to lie.
I don't want to embarrass him to basically give the message that I don't trust him. So I said, I don't have money. Isn't that
the
easier way out?
The Sefer Hasidim's argument is find another way. Find another way that doesn't involve lying. Now, you're right. We do have a principle of Mishan and Bnei HaShalom that you're allowed to alter the truth in order to preserve peace. But we have to be very careful when we evaluate that to make sure it's not self-serving. You know, I'm going to decide that every time that it would be easier for me not to tell the truth, oh, well, this is a peace case. Not necessarily. You have to be careful about how you apply that. It is an exceedingly slippery slope. So, turning the page to the last footnote on this seif, Tesvav with the asterisk, where we said that you're allowed to lend to somebody having in mind that it will be converted to tzedakah in the event that he doesn't pay you back. Right? So he says, "Ayin mashikasabti b'zeh b'sefer tzedakah u'mishpat." See what I wrote in tzedakah u'mishpat and the kach kasav kalayoyt erech halva shemin haroi lasos kain. It's appropriate to do this, to lend to him, thinking it'll just be tzedakah. Kishahani mevakesh lilvos davar muat, where the pauper is only requesting a loan for a small amount of money. V'karov hadavar shelo yuchal lifro alo, and it is likely that he isn't going to be able to pay you back. So what do? Sheyitin lo almenas shelo l'shalim. What you want to do is give it to him on condition that he not pay back. What does that mean? So I'm jumping the parentheses. Ela shekasav shetzarech lahodio. But he wrote, the Pelayoetz wrote, that shetzarech lahodio, you have to inform him. V'yomar lo, saying, don't be upset if you can't pay me. I view it as though you've already paid me back. And if Hashem enlarges your borders, gives you funds, to shalemli, then pay me back. Meaning you have to say to him, I don't expect repayment. You can pay me back if you can, then fine. Why? Shem lo yifarish lo kain. Because if you don't specify that, if you don't explain that to him, eino moel bameshemo chalo belibo, it doesn't help that you are forgiving him in your heart. Shari al koponim halo veli isura kamachavein midina lo verasha velo yishalein. He says the borrower is intending to violate a prohibition under the principle of, I think it's from Mishlei, one who borrows, a wicked borrower will not pay back, or a wicked person will borrow and not pay back. V'nimtza amalda machshilo v'over alifnei iver. The lender is causing him to stumble. So if you are going to do this kind of loan slash tzedakah, you have to say to him, if you can't pay me back, I'm okay with that. That's what you have to say to him. V'nirish mefarish kin midivrei ha'yalkut, and he says, this is drawn from, he thinks, from the yalkut, tzadik honei menosein, it looks like it's a pasuk in Tehillim. Oh, of course it's Tehillim, tell him I'm a Zion. Thank you.
See then is a kalva, it moves into a different category. When it starts off as kalva, it's coming for a loan, it's not coming for a tzedakah.
Right.
The person is coming for a tzedakah, and then...
For a loan.
And then you're turning it. You're potentially, you're like on the cusp where you're turning it this way or that way so that... I don't know. You'll give the person this out. Because why? Because you don't want the Aveira.
Right.
Even though you're doing it for this one, you don't want the event potentially not getting it back.
Right.
Because of the person that then and you have to evaluate it, or you sort of, you have to evaluate it yourself, the borrower, the lender.
Yeah. It's your lift name here.
It's your potentially your affair.
Yeah. So that's what he says. He goes on further with it. I just wanted to see that opening piece, that if you're going to do what seems like a very nice thing, you still have to think about the unintended results, potentially. That is correct.
Yeah, under, like hide under the veil of innocence,
you know? Yep. And that's what informs the very next se'if. Back on the top of the page, se'if vav. Kishu batuach be'enav asur lahalvos mal shelo be'edim. Even if you are 100% certain that the guy is going to pay you back, you are not allowed to lend him money without witnesses. And this is a straight Gemara, as we'll see. Afilu tamar chacham, even if you're lending it to a tamar chacham. Elim kain b'mashkon, unless there's a collateral. You don't need witnesses if you have a collateral, because it'll function the same way. V'amalva b'shar b'shubach mimenu. And if you do it with a document, that's even better. V'yesh omrim, and some say, sh'shtar b'ksav yado dino kishtar. Some say it's good enough to have a document that's written in his handwriting. Meaning, normally the way a document works in business, in the Torah, is that a document is really testimony. It's witnesses saying, we saw Plony lend to Plony. Right? Think of every document you're familiar with, like Ksuba, Tanoim, whatever it is. Documents are really the witnesses testifying, which is why it's only signed by the witnesses. The parties involved have nothing to sign. What happens, though, if someone comes to me, he needs a quick loan, and I don't have time to go get witnesses and make sure they're kosher and they're not related to each other and so on and so forth. So I say to him, write it in your own handwriting, I owe you whatever the amount is. Normally, that's not what a shtar looks like. But he says, some say that if it's in his handwriting, then it qualifies like a document because in practice, you'll be able to collect on that basis. It's as though he is testifying. Well, not as though. He is testifying to the debt. Follow?
That's well, today it's like that with a will. If you make up your own will, you have to do it in handwriting.
Okay. Makes perfect sense. Well, with the state of handwriting today, I'm not sure they can tell anything now. All right. So that's the idea. Now let's look at this further. First of all, take out the sheets, please, that I had emailed you. The first source is the Shulchan Aruch that the Pesach Choshen is building on. He says, "Asur lahalvos below Eidim, you are not allowed to lend without witnesses. V'afilu tamar chacham, elim kein hilvoa alamashkar, unless there is collateral. V'amalva b'shtar meshubach yoser, lending with a document is noch besser, it's even better. V'chol amalva below Eidim, and if you lend without witnesses, over mishum lifnei iver lo sitein mechshol. You are putting a stumbling block in front of the blind because you're going to cause him to deny the debt at some point. V'goreim klala le'atzmo. And one who does that causes a curse for himself. How do you like that? Very, very strong words. This comes from the second source I sent you. The Gemara in Bava Metzia. Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, Kol mi sheyesh lo maos umalva osan shelo be'edim. If a person has money and he lends them out without witnesses, over mishum v'lefnei iver lo sitein mechshol. There's that pasuk again. V'Reish Lakish Amar goyim klal ala atzmo. And Reish Lakish says he causes a curse for himself. Shenamar, as the pasuk says, Te'olamna sifsei sheker hadovros al tzadik asak. The lips of falsehood should be rendered mute, which speak strongly against the righteous. So, the question, of course, is, where does this, what is the curse that's emerging here? I don't remember, I looked this up when I first did this, but I don't remember now what I saw in Rashi on that as far as the application of the pasuk. So let me pull above Messia rather than guess. Hang on.
There's a thing my grandson gave to me. It's called Leshka Fabadera. You can have virtually everything written, including all of the Gemara.
There we go. Okay. Te'alam nasif say sheker adavro sal sadik asar. So. Yeah. So Rashi says, Kishetov, when he goes to the borrower and demands payment, Vizek Kofer Akol, and the borrower denies everything, because he forgot there ever was a loan. Mikalalin Oso, people will curse him, but Omrim Shu, Dover al Sadiq, people are going to curse the lender and say, what are you giving this guy a hard time? Why are you claiming that he borrowed money from you? He says there never was any such loan. So the lender who lends without proof is causing other people to curse him.
Especially to a
Tamil Chacham. That's what he says. So that's that's the Gemara Bav Mitzia on which this is based. So, keeping that in mind, take a look, please, at footnote Tes Zion. He says, Shulchan Aruch Siman Ayin Sif Aleph, which we saw, that was our first source. Shekol HaMalveh Shelo Be'edim Over Mishum Lifnei Iver Lo Sitein Mechshol. If you lend money without witnesses, that's Lifnei Iver. Sheyavo Alove Lichbor HaLichfor Halva Aso, because the borrower is going to come to deny the loan. Vafilu L'Tamar Chacham, even the Tamar Chacham, Shem Mitirdas Limudo Yishkach HaHalva, because as a result of the distraction of his learning, and the strain, perhaps, of his learning, he's going to forget the loan. Ayin Taz Shum. See the Taz there. So I looked it up in the Taz, and it was very interesting. The Taz argues that from this Gemara that we saw in Bava Metzia, you actually see two reasons involved. One, Lifnei Iver, right? And two, the curse. Other people are gonna curse him. So if it's Lifnei Iver, you're gonna cause somebody to stumble. That's not relevant when you're dealing with the Talmud Chacham, he says. Because the Talmud Chacham isn't an Iver. He's not blind. It's his fault. Whereas the klala issue will still apply, because people are going to say, look at you, you're speaking about this Talmud Chacham, how dare you? So therefore it's the klala piece that brings in the Talmud Chacham. That's the Taz's point. Well, then it would be afilu because of the Lifnei Iver issue. Lifnei Iver is everybody else, and even a Talmud Chacham because of the Klala. That's where the Taz parses the line. So he continues here, and he says, V'gorin klala la'atzma, he causes a curse for himself. Sharbuyo zikalu machma shetovei mechavero masheinu chayavlo. That was Rashi on that Gemara. That people are going to curse him for making such an accusation. V'kesef hakadoshim she'ava pi she'iser ze muzgar al hamalve mishum she'alav lihizaher yoser bekach. He says, even though it's worded as the lender's concern, make sure there are witnesses, the borrower is also responsible to make sure that there are witnesses, a collateral or a document, whatever. And certainly if he sees that he's not able to pay, that he's having trouble paying, he is responsible to make, he can't just put all this on the lender. And the borrower is somehow some innocent guy. One other note. Take a look on your sheet at the third source.
The borrower, when the deadline is approaching, he's supposed to look for it in the page.
Yes. Lest he forget and then have a problem. So especially at that point, if he didn't do it already earlier, especially at that stage. But take a look at the third source, the Sma. On this, the Sma Sefer Meiras Einayim is one of the two standard commentaries to Choshen Mishpat on the page in Shulchan Aruch. It's that on one side and the Shach on the other. So he says, Pirish on this Tamar Chacham. Even though you can sort of assume that a Talmud Chacham is not going to deny knowingly, and therefore there's no lifnei iver, and therefore you'll say, well, then there's no consent for a curse, because when I claim it, he's going to say you're right. So no one's going to curse me. Still, there is a possibility that as a result of all the distraction of his learning, he'll forget, and he'll swear that he's not liable, and therefore the lender will have caused a curse for himself. Okay. Back in the Pisgei Choshen. So this Echoshen has now told us a few things. Number one, you're lending a borrower is not likely to repay. You are obligated still to lend, assuming that it's just a matter of strain. Otherwise, you are not obligated to lend. If it's you can demand a collateral from him. You shouldn't lie in order to avoid lending to him, in order to avoid telling him the truth. You shouldn't say, well, I don't have any funds. And then, on the issue of extending a loan to somebody you do trust, we still require that you get forms of evidence to be able to use. And he says, unless you use a mashkon. Because as he says in footnote Yudzayin, Shema mashkon lo yuchal lichbor. You can't deny that there's a collateral. How did I end up holding your object?
Yeah.
Right. In some sense, it's better. It's not better than an aid because it doesn't tell a story. Maybe he'll come up with some other explanation about how the object ended up with me and it wasn't a collateral.
Yeah, because the aid can talk. Aid can talk. When the loan back, how.
The aid can tell a story. The collateral fundamentally does not. The collateral is evidence. But you can do a lot of things with evidence. So that's the note in Yud Zayin, and then in Yud Ches he simply notes that a borrower is the one who's obligated to pay for the writing of a document. That's always true. The principle is called Eved Lo Ve'Leish Malveh. The borrower is a slave of the lender. So, in other words, the lender is doing you a big favor. He's providing you with funds. So you have to be the one to go pay the sofer. The last note from the Pisei Choshen on this is Sivka and Yud Tes. Take a look at Yud Tes. He says, this was when we said that it's best to use a document. So he says, Shulchan Aruch Sham, that's the Shulchan Aruch statement, Upiresh Hasma, and the Sefer Meiras Einayim explained, Shagam B'mashkon Adayin Yecholim Liyos Chilukim B'Sechum HaHalva'ah. He says, even if everybody accepts that I'm holding the object as collateral, that doesn't say anything about what the amount was, what the amount of the loan was. Mashein kein b'shtar, as opposed to a document, shekasuv bo kama hilvahu, where you've recorded how much was lent. V'kasuv b'shulchan aruch harav, shebe'edim b'lo shtar gara, she'efshe shelo yu'edim b'medina kishayit ba'enu. The shulchan aruch harav, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, says that having a document without witnesses, without witnesses at hand, is better than having witnesses without a document. Because if all you have are witnesses, maybe they're out of town when it comes time to testify.
But a document. draw it up, it doesn't mean it's enacted.
Well, the document is, you wouldn't be holding the document otherwise. In other words, it's basic procedure that we don't give someone a document he can use to claim something until the event leading to the claiming has taken place. So that's true regarding, wedding at Iksuba. It's true down the line. If someone is holding a document, we assume that whatever had to be executed to make that legitimate was executed. Yeah.
Do we ask for the Iksuba back when we give a gift?
So we then, generally speaking, what's done is that the Iksuba is in some way invalidated, so that no one could use it again. So one of the standard ones is to tear a line through the names of the witnesses. I mean, frankly, in cases that I've been involved with, as a rule, people haven't wanted the ksuba. It's not something they want to hold on to. However, it actually is important for them to make sure they have something, because a ksuba is very often needed as proof of Jewish identity of children, as proof of lineage. Using the parents' ksuba, that's like a gold standard proof. And so you may well want that, despite the bad memories it may have associated with it. Yeah. Okay. Zion. So Seif Zion deals with another situation in which you may not want to extend a loan. We're done with the case of, non-credible borrowers. Now we have Im ein halova rotze lifroa, kim betashluim kitanim. Let's say the borrower says, I'd like to pay you back in very small installments. Eino chayav lahavos lo mitzad adin. Letter of the law, you are not obligated to extend a loan to a person in such a circumstance. Ela im kain, yesh lo hafsharos lekabela peiraon betashlumim, mibli sheyigrom lo hafseid, chayav lahavos lo. If, however, getting paid in small increments isn't going to hurt you financially, you're not depending on the funds, it's not going to damage your bank account in some way, so if it doesn't hurt you, so we fall back to midas tzedek. If it doesn't hurt you to help somebody else, help the person. Take the loan with the small increments. It's annoying, but that's life. Life is annoying. But if it would harm you, you're within your rights to say, I'm not lending on those terms. The lender is the one who gets to set the terms for repayment. That's the idea. Under this Eved Lo Ve'Le'ish Malveh principle, yes.
This judge, when I was in traffic court, it was a serious traffic thing, and it was found out that my client had other things that she was paying back in installment plans. She owed $5,000, so she paid back teeny tiny bits. The judge saw that in the record, and he held it against her, and he didn't give the break that I was asking for. He didn't let her off. He was very harsh on her because the installment plan was so weak.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this is in Coburn. Like, this is not Toronto, but it's in a small town.
No, but I would have assumed that it shows poverty. Like, that's why I'm paying back $5 at a time.
Right, that's what I was saying, but he said, no, it shows she's not serious, it's old already, who knows if she's going to be able to pay this one. Meanwhile, he gave her the full brunt of the law, but he was very, very harsh
on
her because of a weak installment.
Wow.
I never saw that, but...
Okay.
Okay, yes, I did very badly.
That's very odd.
Here's the equivalent of giving a loan, not for 30 days, but for a longer time.
Yeah, so it would appear.
And the same would be if somebody says, I want a loan, and I want it for 6 months.
So he hasn't discussed that here, but that would come under the previous discussions that we've had about being obligated or not being obligated to lend, where you can't afford to give up the money for that period of time. That would be there. Take a look at footnote Chaf Aleph, please. He quotes the Avas Chesed on this, and then in parentheses he says, "V'siyein." The Avas Chesed concludes his thought, saying, "Shemitzar ha'ava ve'ha'achva nachol mehitiv gam ba'ofen zeh." It may be true that letter of the law, you're not obligated to lend with small installments, but as a matter of brotherhood, and love and so on, it's a good thing to do.
Of course.
Yeah. Chayim Shom Chelik Beis Perichav Beis Begodel HaMitzvah Behalva Lefroa B'Tashlim Kitanim. He goes on at length to discuss how great it is to lend to somebody with such small installments for payback. Ubenisiv HaChesed Shom Siv Kantes Vav Hevi Makor L'Dvarav. He brought a proof to this. Mimasha Amu B'Gemar from the Gemara Bava Basra Ayin Zayin Amud Beis Sheperon Zuza Zuza Have Peron Ela Sheyesh Lo Taromes Alav Shemavsi B'Mono Ayidei Sheyiz Baz B'Zu. He says, the Gemara Bava Metzia says that a lender is allowed to say, pay me back zuz by zuz does not qualify as payment. It does qualify as payment, but I'm entitled as a lender to claim from him and say, that's not right. My money is going down in value all the time with this little, dribs and drabs. He says it's not even a question within the view of the shach. The shach's view is you can out and out reject that sort of installment payment. Certainly then I would not be obligated to originate a loan on those terms. But even within the view of the Shulchan Aruch that says no, you have to accept that payment, so you aren't obligated to originate a loan on those terms. Just that if you originate a loan, you are now not you will have to accept whatever he gives you as repayment. That's the idea. But then he says after the parentheses, Olafiani is daiti tzarach iyun. In my humble opinion, this requires examination. Kevin shebigemara amru she'en lo alav ela taromes. In the Gemara, they said that if someone pays in small installments, so you have to accept it. You can just say, hey, that's not nice. Mashma she'en ze hefsin mamish. It sounds like it's not considered a real loss. Umi yomar shataromes shave yoser mimasha yochol arviach bavala akum. Umi tircha she'eno potro imitzvas halva. Who's to say that this claim of his, hey, what you're doing isn't right, is worth more than, let's say, the profits he could have had if he had lent it to a non-Jew instead, or if he had had the money to invest, or the strain that's involved in making the collection. And then he continues and says, right. So no, but I think what he's saying is that that in terms of evaluating what the loss here is, we say ein lo alav ela taromes, right? The Gemara says all you have is a claim of that wasn't nice, right? That's all you can say is that wasn't nice. So it sounds like it's not a real loss, because all you're saying is that wasn't nice. And realistically, you can't tell me that the satisfaction, so to speak, that you get by going to Beis Din and saying this guy is a bad guy, he's paying me back in small installments, that is worth more than a real hefsed, a real loss, like the amount that the opportunity cost that you lost because you could have lent it to someone who wasn't Jewish during that time, or for the strain that's involved. In other words, taromis is not equal hefsed. He says taromes, it doesn't mean that you're actually taking a loss in this case. That's his point. Yeah, it's inconvenient. He concludes the thought here by quoting from the Nesiv HaChesed saying, Shafilu Mahava Misratze Sheyifralo Kolaschum Barash Chodesh Nisan. Even if the lender accepts, you can pay me back on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Valova rotza lifroa betashlum and beligmor ad Rosh Chodesh Nisan b'meishachoshe sheyotziyem. And the borrower says, I know myself. If I'm holding on to the money, I'm going to end up spending it. So I would like to pay you in small increments and I'll end Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And the lender said, I'm happy to accept payment by Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So what's wrong? Eino chayv lavoso. He does not have to originate the loan. He does not need to extend the loan under those circumstances, because he doesn't want to deal with small payments. He's annoyed by having to deal with the small payments. And certainly, if he's going to want to pay later than the lender wanted, that's for sure. Yeah. Okay. We will stop with that on the loan with the small installment payments and pick up there, God willing, next week.